Eclipse employees are sent home to wait for news. Strong general aviation sales are not expected to last. And Cessna cuts 665 jobs. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, November 14th, 2008. The situation unraveled quickly at Eclipse Aviation yesterday. Just hours after employees were told their paychecks for the last 2 weeks wouldn't clear the bank, they were told to go home and await further instructions. Workers were reportedly given a toll-free number to call for updates on the status of their November 15th paychecks. ANN has spoken with a number of sources close to the company's situation. The consensus is that Eclipse is attempting a Hail Mary effort to get funding to keep the company running, and that the outcome of the effort may be known by the end of the weekend. For the moment, the company is declining comment. For now, employees have been leaving Eclipse's facility in Albuquerque carrying what appears to be their personal belongings, and New Mexico Economic Development Secretary Fred Mondragon told New Mexico Business Weekly he was informed by a contractor, quote, "The assembly staff is not working, and the assembly line is apparently shut down," unquote. Aero News has also learned that Dayjet, which was the largest single customer for the Eclipse 500 very light jet, is expected to file for bankruptcy under Chapter 7, possibly as early as today. That company halted operations on September 19th. Check for updates today and over the weekend in text form at aero-news.net. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association yesterday reported that worldwide deliveries of general aviation airplanes for the first 9 months of 2008 totaled 2,977. That's up from 2,918 for the same period last year. Total dollar sales volume was also up from $15.1 billion last year to $18.2 billion this year. Piston sales were down, turboprop sales were up, and business jets were up a whopping 30% from last year. Gamma President and CEO Pete Bunce cautioned that despite the good showing, tough times lie ahead as the economies of the U.S. and the world stumble. Quote, "Reacting to the lead and lag nature of this economic slowdown, several companies have announced layoffs and are working very aggressively to retain orders and encourage new ones. Even as the price of fuel has declined from the debilitating high levels we saw this past summer, the uncertainty of financial markets worldwide is negatively impacting the entire aviation industry," unquote. ANN's Jim Campbell discusses the report in detail with Pete Bunce in today's Aero News special feature. Tough times have already arrived at Cessna. The Wichita Eagle reports about 500 workers in Wichita will get their 60-day layoff notices in the next few weeks. Another 165 workers in Bend, Oregon, representing about a third of the workers there who build the planes formerly known as the Columbia 350 and 400, are also slated for furloughs. The plane maker also added two more unpaid days off to its upcoming holiday shutdown. Wichita's KSN Television reports Cessna has already offered all employees the option of voluntary furloughs with severance packages. In its email, the company said, quote, "We have now finalized the production schedule for 2009 and supporting annual operating plans. These actions are regrettable but necessary to ensure our long-term stability and success," unquote. KSN-TV also reports that strong sales of the Citation Mustang light jet have so far prevented any layoffs at Cessna's plant in Independence, Kansas. The U.S. ambassador to Mexico says an investigation involving the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has found no evidence of foul play in the November 4th crash of a Learjet 45 on approach to land at Mexico City International Airport. The plane was carrying two controversial government figures, and speculation linking the crash to a drug cartel was rampant. Ambassador Tony Garza told the Associated Press, quote, "The preliminary evidence indicates the crash was a tragic accident," unquote. Current Interior Minister Juan Camilo Moreno and former Assistant Attorney General José Luis Santiago Vasconcelos died in the crash along with six others on board. Five more people on the ground were killed and at least 40 more injured when the aircraft came down in a business and residential neighborhood. The accident occurred in clear weather and the crew gave no indication of any trouble before the crash. Mexican investigators have theorized wake turbulence from another aircraft may have caused the crash. They had already ruled out a bomb as the cause last week. Up next on ANN, does your federal air marshal have a felony record? The airlines say expect full flights in busy airports for Thanksgiving. And a storied FBO celebrates its 70th anniversary. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 14th. I'm Paul Platt. A disturbing report by a nonprofit journalism watchdog group paints a frightening picture of the state of the Federal Air Marshal Service. USA Today reports ProPublica found over three dozen air marshals have been charged with crimes, including drunk driving, unauthorized use of firearms, sexual misconduct with a minor, and attempted smuggling of explosives, and hundreds more have been accused but not officially charged. The group claims a review of police reports, court documents, and private correspondence revealed 18 marshals have been charged with felonies. Three were hired despite prior criminal records, or after they were fired from other jobs in law enforcement. A fourth was allegedly under FBI investigation when hired. Others apparently turned to crime after being hired. The report cites the example of Sean Nguyen, who filed for bankruptcy 2 weeks after being hired by the service in April of 2002. 3 years later, he was caught transporting cash and cocaine past airport security to a drug trafficker who had turned informant to the FBI. He was later sentenced to 7 years in prison. Air Marshal Brian Cooter Phelps allegedly asked a fellow marshal to find a hitman to make his ex-wife disappear. The report also mentions Michael McGowan, who used his status as an air marshal to lure a young boy to his hotel room. The number of registered air marshals exploded from 33 before 9/11 to over 3,000 under the Transportation Security Administration. Former Federal Air Marshal Service officer Don Strange, who was a finalist to lead the agency back in 2006, said the service suffers from low morale and high turnover, creating pressure to rush the hiring process. The Air Transport Association of America, which is the lobbying group for most U.S. airlines, says it expects full planes during the Thanksgiving holiday season despite a 10% year-over-year decrease in the number of passengers traveling on U.S. carriers. ATA predicts the three busiest travel days surrounding Thanksgiving will be Sunday, November 30th, Monday, December 1st, and Wednesday, November 26th, in that order. On those days, ATA projects planes will be, on average, close to 90% full. ATA President and CEO James May added, quote, "And make no mistake, the airports will be busy and many flights will be 100% full," unquote. The trade group hopes the government will open military airspace during busy holidays as it did last year. ATA also recommends holiday travelers become familiar with the TSA's list of prohibited items before showing up at checkpoints and register to receive automated travel notifications delivered to cell phones or wireless devices. Garmin International announced yesterday it has received Organization Designation Authorization, or ODA, from the FAA. That upgrades existing Garmin Organization Designated Airworthiness Representative and Designated Alteration Station organizations to ODA standing and adds Garmin's facility in Salem, Oregon. The ODA designation means Garmin can issue supplemental type certificates approving installations of Garmin avionics in aircraft. Garmin VP of Marketing Gary Kelly says the move acknowledges a long history of working well with the FAA. Quote, "We are very proud to receive this ODA designation because it confirms our core principles of innovation, performance, quality, value, and service," unquote. Tomorrow will mark the 70th anniversary of Executive Beechcraft, and a celebration is planned. Executive Beechcraft Incorporated notes it's been an integral part of the Kansas City and St. Louis communities since 1938. Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius and Missouri Governor Matt Blunt have both declared tomorrow Executive Beechcraft Day. The company is a prominent general aviation fixed-base operator specializing in aircraft sales and support, maintenance, avionics, and aircraft management. Ed Cheverest, Vice President and General Manager, notes the company's downtown Kansas City facility, quote, "even dates back to the founding days of Transworld Airlines, where Howard Hughes himself had an office, unquote. The company says its central location has helped it over the years, providing a convenient midway refueling point for many general aviation, corporate, and cargo and freight aircraft navigating cross-country. As many as 700 aircraft per day now take off or land at Charles B. Wheeler Downtown Airport, which was originally dedicated by Charles Lindbergh in 1927. The 70th anniversary celebration will also involve EB's other facilities at Kansas City International Airport, New Century Airport, and Spirit of St. Louis Airport. Still ahead, JetBlue pilots prepare for a union vote. United Airlines is testing next-gen technologies today over the Pacific Ocean. And a California museum celebrates Steve McQueen's aviation roots. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, November 14th. I'm Paul Plagg. The JetBlue Pilots Association filed a petition with the National Mediation Board this week to gain recognition as the sole bargaining agent for nearly 2,000 pilots of JetBlue. The official statements from the association sound nothing like the rhetoric from most other unions. Association leaders Captains Michael Sorby and William Evans issued a joint statement explaining why such an outwardly happy bunch of pilots would seek union representation. Quote, "We have complete faith in our current company leadership and believe that this will be a cooperative effort. As our airline matures, we want to ensure that the career expectations of our pilots will remain intact, regardless of organizational changes," unquote. Association leaders provided advance notice of the intent to file the petition to both CEO David Barger and the JetBlue Board of Directors, a move the group says indicates the type of relationship that exists today and confirming the type of direction that should be expected in the future. United Airlines will become the first U.S. carrier to demonstrate how next-generation technologies could save more than 2,000 gallons of fuel and cut up to 55,000 pounds of carbon emissions on a single trans-Pacific flight. As part of the Asia and South Pacific Initiative to Reduce Emissions, or ASPIRE, United Flight 870 will fly from Sydney to San Francisco today, using up-to-the-minute fuel data, priority takeoff clearance, the opening up of restricted airspace, and new arrival procedures, all made possible by new technology, to generate significant fuel and emission savings. Within minutes of landing, United will calculate and publish the actual savings realized. Among the innovations, United Captain Tom Spratt will be able to alter his flight path to optimize for winds and weather, and will be cleared for a fuel-saving continuous descent approach into San Francisco, starting 90 minutes out. That fuel-saving procedure was developed by United and Boeing to increase efficiency over the traditional step-down approach. Data from the flight will be analyzed by NASA and the FAA to accelerate the development and implementation of new operational ground systems and pilot procedures to reduce the environmental footprint for all phases of flight. Today marks the start of Southern California's first Air Force Week, with activities showcasing the U.S. Air Force's impressive capabilities and recognizing the contributions of service members and their communities. Airmen from local bases will participate in demonstrations, film festivals, concerts, educational activities, and unique expositions. Opening ceremonies are this morning at 10:30 a.m. at Hollywood and Highland Center and will feature flyovers of military aircraft rarely seen by the public, a proclamation ceremony including government, military, and community dignitaries, and presentation to the Air Force of an honorary replica of the Hollywood Walk of Fame star, celebrating 44 Air Force veterans with their own Walk of Fame stars. A wide range of activities, including free films, are planned. You can find more details at www.airforceweek.com. Southern California Air Force bases participating in Air Force Week include Los Angeles, Vandenberg, Edwards, March Air Reserve Base, and Channel Islands Air National Guard Station. And finally, among all the other tributes and accolades paid to the late legendary actor Steve McQueen, somehow his favorite airport has never officially honored him. That'll change on Saturday, December 6th. The Aviation Museum of Santa Paula will welcome home Barbara McQueen, the late actor's widow, with a VIP reception and dinner at the Santa Paula Airport. The 5 p.m. reception will include a catered dinner, slideshow, and book signing for Steve McQueen, The Last Mile. Mike Dewey, a museum board member who has a long history with the privately owned airport, said, quote, Santa Paula was the beginning and end of Steve McQueen's aviation roots. Steve used to say, Santa Paula Airport is my kind of country club, unquote. Barbara McQueen will be making her first trip back to Santa Paula since Steve's death in 1980. Quote, Santa Paula was Steve's church, and he really loved the city with all his heart and soul. He was treated like a normal person there, where he could relax and be himself, hang out with friends, and fly his planes. I'm really looking forward to coming back because it was a big part of my life. It'll be good to renew some of those old ties and make new friendships, unquote. The tax-deductible dinner is $50, with proceeds benefiting the Aviation Museum of Santa Paula. You can RSVP by calling 805-525-1109 or by email mcqueenevent@amszp.org. You know, with the film industry so closely identified with the exploitation of celebrities, both alive and deceased, it really warms the heart to see an event like this arranged with absolutely no ulterior motive whatsoever. Oh, one more thing. Museum board member Dewey notes, quote, We also felt this was a good opportunity to promote our new 3,000-square-foot museum headquarters, unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Gamma President Pete Bunce about how general aviation did in this year's third quarter. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.